1089, verse 24. And Noah awoke from his wine, and knew what his younger son had done unto him. And Noah awoke from his wine, signifies when he was better instructed, and knew what his younger son had done unto him, signifies that external worship separate from internal is such that it derides. 1090. And Noah awoke from his wine. That this signifies when he was better instructed is evident from the signification of awakening after drunkenness. When he was drunken, verse 21, it signified that he had fallen into errors, and therefore his awakening is nothing but coming out of errors. 1091. What his younger son had done unto him. This signifies that external worship separate from internal is such that it derides. From the literal or historic sense, it appears as if Ham were meant by his younger son, but from the following verse it is evident that Canaan is meant, for it is said, "Cursed be Canaan," and in the subsequent verses, 26 and 27, it is said that Canaan should be a servant. The reason nothing is said of Ham will be explained under the next verse. Here we shall merely mention why the order is such that Shem is named first, Ham second, Japheth third, and Canaan fourth. Charity is the first of the church, or Shem. Faith is the second, or Ham. Worship from charity is the third, or Japheth. Worship in externals without faith and charity is the fourth, or Canaan. Charity is the brother of faith, and therefore so also is worship from charity. But worship in externals without charity is a servant of servants. 1092, verse 25. And he said, "Cursed be Canaan, a servant of servants shall he be to his brethren." Cursed be Canaan signifies that external worship separate from internal averts itself from the Lord. A servant of servants shall he be to his brethren signifies the vilest thing in the church. 1093. Cursed be Canaan. That this signifies that external worship separate from internal averts itself from the Lord is evident from the signification of Canaan and from that of being cursed. That Canaan is external worship separate from internal is evident from what has been said before about Canaan, and also from his being said to be cursed, and from what follows about his being a servant of servants. Moreover, one who is a servant to both Shem and Japheth cannot signify anything but something that is separated from the church itself, such as is worship in externals alone. This is evident from the signification of being cursed as being to avert oneself, because the Lord never curses anyone, nor is even angry, but it is man who curses himself by averting himself from the Lord. See what was stated and shown above, number 223, 245, 592. The Lord is as far from cursing anyone and being angry with him as heaven is from earth. Who can believe that the Lord, who is omniscient and omnipotent, and by his wisdom rules the universe and is thus infinitely above all infirmities, is angry with such wretched dust as men, who scarcely know anything of what they do, and can of themselves do nothing but evil? It is therefore never possible for the Lord to be angry, or to be other than merciful. That arcana are here contained may be seen merely from this, that Ham is not cursed, when yet it was he who saw the nakedness of his father and told it to his brethren, but his son Canaan, who was not his only son nor his firstborn, but the fourth in order, as is evident from the 10th chapter, 6th verse, where the sons of Ham are named, Cush, Mizraim, Put, and Canaan. It was also of the divine law that a son should not bear the iniquity of his father, as is evident in Ezekiel. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. The son shall not bear the iniquity of the father, neither shall the father bear the iniquity of the son. 18, verse 20. Deuteronomy 24, verse 16. Second Book of Kings, 14, verse 6. The same appears also from the consideration that this iniquity seems so light, that is to say, Ham's seeing the nakedness of his father and telling it to his brethren, that a whole posterity could not be cursed for it. From all this it is evident that there are arcana contained here. That Ham is not now named but Canaan is because Ham signifies faith separated from charity in the spiritual church, and this cannot be cursed, since in that church there is holiness in faith, because there is truth. Hence, although there is no faith when there is no charity, still as man is regenerated by means of the cognitions of faith, this faith without charity may be joined to charity, and thus in a certain sense is a brother, or may become a brother. Therefore not Ham, but Canaan was cursed. Furthermore, the inhabitants of the land of Canaan were in great part of such a nature that they made all worship consist in externals, the Jews as well as the Gentiles. Such are the arcana here contained, and unless this were so, Canaan would never have been substituted in place of Ham. That external worship separated from internal averts itself and thus curses itself is sufficiently evident from the consideration that those who are in external worship regard nothing but what is worldly, corporeal, and earthly. Thus they look downwards and immerse their minds and their life in these things, of which we shall have more to say presently. 1094. A servant of servants shall he be to his brethren. That this signifies the vilest thing in the church is evident from the nature of external worship when separated from internal. That regarded in itself, external worship is nothing unless there is internal worship to make it holy, must be evident to everyone. For what is external adoration without adoration of the heart but a gesture? Or what is prayer of the lips if the mind is not in it but mere babbling? And what is any work if there is no intention in it but a thing of naught? So that in itself every external thing is an inanimate affair and lives solely from what is internal. The nature of external worship when separated from what is internal has been made evident to me from many things in the other life. The sorceresses there had in the world frequented churches and the sacraments equally with others, and so had the deceitful, in fact these had done so more than others, and so also had those who had been delighted with robbery and the avaricious. And yet they are infernals, and bear the greatest hatred against the Lord and the neighbor. Their internal worship in external had been either that they might be seen by the world, or that they might gain worldly, earthly, and corporeal things which they desired, or that they might deceive under the appearance of sanctity, or from a certain acquired habit. That such persons are very prone to adore any god or any idol that favors them in their desires is very manifest, especially from the Jews, who, in consequence of making their worship to consist in nothing but externals, so often lapsed into idolatry. The reason is that such worship is in itself merely idolatrous, for the external is what is worshipped by them. The Gentiles also, in the land of Canaan, who worshipped Baal and other gods, had a nearly similar external worship, for they had not only temples and altars, but also sacrifices, so that their external worship differed but little from the worship of the Jews, except that they gave the names of Baal and Ashtaroth and others to their god, and the Jews gave to him the name Yahweh, as is the case also at this day, for they suppose that the mere naming of Yahweh will make them holy and elect, when yet this is tended rather to condemn them more than others. For in this way they have been able to profane what is holy, which the Gentiles cannot do. Such worship is what is called Canaan, who is said to be a servant of servants. That a servant of servants denotes the vilest thing in the church may be seen in the following verse. 1095, verse 26. And he said, Blessed be Yahweh, the God of Shem, and Canaan shall be his servant. Blessed be Yahweh, the God of Shem, signifies every good for those who worship the Lord from internals. Shem is the internal church. And Canaan shall be his servant, signifies that such as make worship consist solely in externals are among those who may perform vile services to the men of the church. 1096. Blessed be Yahweh, the God of Shem. That this signifies every good for those who worship the Lord from internals is evident from the signification of blessed. Blessing involves every good, celestial, spiritual, and natural, and all these are signified by blessing in the internal sense. In the external sense, by blessing is signified every worldly, corporeal, and earthly good, but these, if they be a blessing, must necessarily be so from internal blessing. For this alone is blessing, because it is eternal, and is conjoined with every felicity, and is the very esse of blessings. For what really is, unless it is eternal? Every other being ceases to be. It was customary among the ancients to say, Blessed be Yahweh, by which they meant that from him is every blessing, that is, every good. And the same was also a formula of thanksgiving, because the Lord blesses and has blessed. As in David, Psalm 28, verse 6, 31, verse 21, 41, verse 13, 66, verse 20, 48, verses 19 and 35, 72, verses 18 and 19, 89, verse 52, 119, verse 12, 124, verse 6, 135, verse 21, 144, verse 1, and many other places. Blessed be Yahweh is said here because Shem, or the internal church, is the subject that is being treated of, which church is said to be internal from charity. In charity, the Lord is present, who is here called Yahweh God. But he is not so called in the external church, For although the Lord is present in it, he is not present as he is in the man of the internal church. For the man of the external church still believes that he does the goods of charity from himself. And therefore, when the subject treated of is the man of the external church, the Lord is called God, as in the following verse concerning Japheth. God shall enlarge Japheth. That every good is the portion of those who worship the Lord from internals is evident also from the order of things, for the order is this. From the Lord is everything celestial, from the celestial is everything spiritual, from the spiritual is everything natural. This is the order of the coming forth of all things, and therefore it is the order of influx. The celestial is love to the Lord and towards the neighbor. Where there is no love, the connection is broken, and the Lord is not present, who flows in solely through the celestial, that is, through love. When there is no celestial, there cannot possibly be any spiritual, because everything spiritual is through the celestial from the Lord. The spiritual is faith. And therefore there is no faith except through charity or love from the Lord. It is similar with the natural. According to this same order do all goods flow in, from which it follows that those have every good who worship the Lord from internals, that is, from charity, whereas those who do not worship him from charity have no good, save such as counterfeits what is good, but in itself is evil, such as the delight of hatreds and adulteries, which regarded in itself is nothing but an excrementitious delight, into which also it is turned in the other life. 1097. And Canaan shall be his servant. That this signifies that such as make worship consist solely in externals are among those who may perform vile services to the men of the church, is evident especially from the representatives in the Jewish church. In the Jewish church, the internal church was represented by Judah and Israel, by Judah the celestial church, by Israel the spiritual church, and by Jacob the external church. But those who made worship consist solely in externals were represented by the Gentiles, whom they called strangers, and who were their servants, and performed menial services in the church. As in Isaiah, strangers shall stand and feed your flock, and the sons of the stranger shall be your plowmen and your vine dressers. But ye shall be called the priests of Yehovah. The ministers of our God shall ye be called. Ye shall eat the wealth of the Gentiles, and in their glory shall ye boast yourselves. 61 verses 5 and 6. Here celestial men are called the priests of Yehovah, spiritual men the ministers of our God. Those who make worship consist solely in externals are called the sons of the stranger, who should serve in their fields and vineyards. Again, the sons of the stranger shall build up thy walls, and their kings shall minister unto thee. 60 verse 10. Here in like manner their services are mentioned. In Joshua concerning the Gibeonites. Now therefore ye are cursed, and there shall not be cut off from you a servant, both hewers of wood and drawers of water for the house of my God. And Joshua made them that day hewers of wood and drawers of water for the congregation, especially for the altar of Yehovah. 9 verses 23 and 27. It may be seen elsewhere who were represented by the Gibeonites because of the covenant made with them, in spite of which, however, they were among those who served in the church. Concerning strangers, a law was delivered that if they would receive peace and open their gates, they should be tributary and serve. Deuteronomy 22. First Book of Kings 9, verses 21 and 22. Everything written in the Word concerning the Jewish church was representative of the kingdom of the Lord. The kingdom of the Lord is such that everyone in it, whosoever and whatsoever he may be, must perform some use. Nothing but use is regarded by the Lord in his kingdom. Even the infernals must perform some use, but the uses which they perform are most vile. Among those who in the other life perform vile uses are those who have had merely external worship separated from internal. Moreover, the representatives in the Jewish church were of such a nature that there was no thought about the person that represented, but only about the thing represented thereby. As, for instance, in the case of the Jews, who were by no means celestial men, and yet represented them. And Israel, again, was by no means a spiritual man, yet represented him. And so it was with Jacob and the rest. The same was the case with the kings and priests, by whom was represented the royalty and holiness of the Lord. This is very evident from the use of inanimate things for representation, as Aaron's garments, the altar itself, the tables for bread, the lamps, the bread and wine, besides oxen, bullocks, goats, sheep, kids, lambs, pigeons, and turtle doves. And because the sons of Judah and Israel only represented the internal and external worship of the Lord's church, and yet more than others made all worship consist in externals, they above all others may be called Canaan, according to his signification here. 1098. What is meant by Shem and what by Japheth, that is, who is a man of the internal church and who is a man of the external church, and hence what is meant by Canaan, will be evident from the following considerations. The man of the internal church attributes to the Lord all the good that he does and all the truth that he thinks. But the man of the external church does not know how to do this, and yet does what is good. The man of the internal church makes the worship of the Lord from charity, thus internal worship essential, and external worship not so essential. But the man of the external church makes external worship essential, and does not know what internal worship is, although he has it. And therefore the man of the internal church believes that he is acting against his conscience if he does not worship the Lord from what is internal, while the man of the external church believes that he is acting against his conscience if he does not sacredly observe external rites. There are many things in the conscience of the man of the internal church, because he knows many things from the internal sense of the word. But there are fewer things in the conscience of the man of the external church, because he knows few things from the internal sense of the word. The former, that is, the man of the internal church, is he who is called Shem, and the latter, that is, the man of the external church, is he who is called Japheth. But he who makes worship consist only in externals and has no charity, consequently no conscience, is called Canaan. 1099, verse 27. May God enlarge Japheth, and he shall dwell in the tents of Shem, and Canaan shall be his servant. By Japheth is signified as before a corresponding external church. May God enlarge Japheth signifies its enlightenment. And he shall dwell in the tents of Shem signifies in order that the internals of worship may be in the externals. And Canaan shall be his servant, signifies here as before that those who make worship consist solely in externals are able to perform vile services. 1100. That by Japheth is signified a corresponding external church has been already stated, and also what is meant by an external church, namely external worship. And thus those who do not know what the internal man is, nor anything that belongs to the internal man, and yet live in charity. With these the Lord is equally present, for the Lord works through charity wherever charity exists. The case in this respect is the same as it is with little children, with whom, although they do not know what charity is, still less what faith is, the Lord is nevertheless much more present than with adults, especially when the little children live together in charity. And the case is the same with the simple who have innocence, charity, and mercy. It is utterly useless for a man to know many things if he does not live according to what he knows. For knowing has no other end than that the man may thereby become good. When he has become good, he has much more than one who knows innumerable things and yet is not good. For what the latter seeks by much knowledge, the former already has. Very different, however, is the case with one who knows many truths and goods, and at the same time has charity and conscience. For such a one is a man of the internal church, or Shem. Those who know little and yet have conscience are enlightened in the other life, insomuch that they become angels and possess wisdom and intelligence inexpressible. These are signified by Japheth. 1101. May God enlarge Japheth. Signifies the enlightenment of this church. In the literal sense, to enlarge is to extend the boundaries, but in the internal sense, it is to be enlightened. For enlightenment is the enlargement, as it were, of the boundaries of wisdom and intelligence. As in Isaiah, enlarge the place of thy tent, and let them stretch forth the curtains of thine habitations. 54, verse 2. This means enlightenment in spiritual things. The man of the external church is enlarged when he is instructed in the truths and goods of faith. And as he is in charity, he is thereby more and more confirmed. And besides, the more he is instructed, the more is the cloud of his intellectual part dispersed. Of that intellectual part, that is to say, in which are charity and conscience. 1102. And he shall dwell in the tents of Shem. That this signifies, in order that the internals of worship may be in the externals, is evident from all that has been said before concerning Shem, namely, that Shem is the internal church or internal worship, and that external worship is nothing but an inanimate affair, or else an unclean one, unless there is internal worship to vivify and hallow it. That the tents signify nothing but the holiness of love and the derivative worship is evident from the signification of tents, concerning which see above, number 414. It was customary among the ancients to speak of journeying and dwelling in tents, by which was signified in the internal sense holy worship, for the reason that the most ancient people not only journeyed with tents, but also dwelt in tents, and performed their holy worship in them. Hence also to journey and to dwell, signified in the internal sense, to live. That tense signify holy worship. The following passages, in addition to those before cited, number 414, may serve for confirmation. In David, God forsook the tabernacle of Shiloh, the tent in which he dwelt in man. Psalm 68, verse 60. Here tent signifies the same as temple, in which God is said to dwell when he is present with man in love. Hence the man who lived in holy worship was called by the ancients a tent, and afterwards a temple. In Isaiah, enlarge the place of thy tent, and let them stretch forth the curtains of thine habitations. 54, verse 2. This means enlightenment in those things which belong to true worship. In Jeremiah, the whole land is laid waste. Suddenly have my tents been laid waste, and my curtains in a moment. 4, verse 20. Here it is very manifest that tents are not meant, but holy worship. In Zechariah, Jerusalem shall yet again dwell in her own place, even in Jerusalem. Yahuwah also shall save the tents of Judah. 12, verses 6 and 7. Here the tents of Judah stand for the worship of the Lord from the Holy of Love. From these passages it is now evident what it is to dwell in the tents of Shem, namely, that internal worship is in external. But because the man Japheth, or the man of the external church, does not well know what internal things are, this shall be briefly told. When a man feels or perceives in himself that he has good thoughts concerning the Lord, and that he has good thoughts concerning the neighbor, and desires to perform kind offices for him, not for the sake of any gain or honor for himself, and when he feels that he has pity for anyone who is in trouble, and still more for anyone who is in error in respect to the doctrine of faith, then he may know that he dwells in the tents of Shem, that is, that he has internal things in him through which the Lord is working. 1103. And Canaan shall be his servant. That this signifies that those who make worship consist solely in externals are able to perform vile offices is evident from what has been said above under the preceding verses, 25 and 26, about Canaan as being a servant. Such men are not indeed servants in the church of the Lord on earth, for there are many of them who hold high stations, and who are set over all others, who do nothing from charity and conscience, and yet observe with much strictness the externals of the church, and even condemn those who do not observe them. But such persons, because they have no charity and conscience, and make worship consist solely in externals without internals, are servants in the kingdom of the Lord, that is, in the other life, for they are among the unhappy. The services which they there perform are vile, and are so many that they cannot be well set forth here, but of the divine mercy of the Lord will be described hereafter. For in the other life, every one without exception must perform some use, because man is born for no other end than that he may perform use to the society in which he is and to the neighbor while he lives in the world, and in the other life according to the good pleasure of the Lord. The case in this respect is the same as it is in the human body. every part of which must perform some use, even things which in themselves are of no value, such as humors which in themselves are excrementitious, as are the many salival fluids, the biles, and other secretions, which must be of service not only to the food, but in separating the excrements and purging the intestines. Such also are the uses of manure and dung in the fields and vineyards, and many other such things. 1104, verses 28 and 29. And Noah lived after the flood 350 years, and all the days of Noah were 950 years, and he died. These words signify the duration of the first ancient church, and at the same time its state. 1105. That these things are signified is sufficiently evident from what has been said before concerning numbers and years. See number 482, 487, 488, 493, 575, 647, 648. Concerning vastations. Number 1106. There are many persons who, during their life in this world, from simplicity and ignorance, have imbibed falsities of religious belief, and yet have had a kind of conscience in accordance with the principles of their faith, and have not, like others, lived in hatred, revenge, and adultery. In the other life, these persons cannot be introduced into celestial societies so long as they remain in these falsities, for they would contaminate them. And they are therefore kept for a time in the lower earth, in order that they may get rid of their false principles. The time that they remain there is longer or shorter according to the nature of the falsity and the life contracted thereby, and according to the degree in which they have confirmed themselves in their principles. Some suffer there severely, others not severely. These sufferings are what are called vastations, of which there is frequent mention in the word. When the period of vastation is completed, they are taken up into heaven, and as newcomers are instructed in the truths of faith, and this by the angels by whom they are received. 1107. There are some who are very willing to be vastated, and thus get rid of the false principles which they have brought with them from the world. No one can get rid of his false principles in the other life, except by the lapse of time and by means provided by the Lord. While these persons remain in the lower earth, they are kept by the Lord in the hope of deliverance, and in the thought of the end in view, which is that they may be amended and prepared to receive celestial happiness. 1108. Some are kept in a middle state between sleep and waking, and think very little, except when they, as it were, awake, which takes place by alternations, and then they remember what they had thought and done in the life of the body, and again they relapse into the middle state between being awake and being asleep. In this way these are vastated. They are under the left foot, a little in front. 1109. Those who have fully confirmed themselves in false principles are reduced to complete ignorance, and then they are in obscurity and confusion, so that when they merely think of the things in which they have confirmed themselves, they have inward pain. But after some time has passed, they are, as it were, created anew, and are imbued with the truths of faith. 1110. Those who have assumed righteousness and merit on account of their good works, and have so attributed the efficacy of salvation to themselves, and not to the Lord and his righteousness and merit, and have confirmed themselves in this in thought and in life, in the other world have their principles of falsity turned into fantasies, so that they seem to themselves to be hewing wood. This is exactly as it appears to them. I have spoken with them. When they are engaged in their labor and are asked whether they are not fatigued, they reply that they have not yet accomplished enough work to be able to merit heaven. When they are hewing the wood, there appears to be something of the Lord under the wood, thus as if the wood were merit that they were getting. The more of the Lord there appears in the wood, the longer they remain in this condition. But when that appearance begins to cease, their vastation is drawing to an end. At length they become such that they too can be admitted into good societies, but still they long fluctuate between truth and falsity. Great care is taken of them by the Lord, because they have lived a dutiful life, and he from time to time sends angels to them. These are those who in the Jewish church were represented by the hewers of wood. Joshua 9, verses 23 and 27. 1111. Those who have lived a good civic and moral life, but have persuaded themselves that they merit heaven by their works, and have believed that it is sufficient to acknowledge an only God as the creator of the universe, in the other life have their false principles turned into such fantasies that they seem to themselves to be cutting grass, and are called grass cutters. They are cold, and try to warm themselves by this cutting. Sometimes they go round and inquire among those whom they meet whether they will give them some heat. This, indeed, spirits can do, but the heat which they receive has no effect upon them, because it is external, and what they want is internal heat. And therefore they return to their cutting, and thus gain heat by their labor. I have felt their cold. They are always hoping to be taken up into heaven, and sometimes consult together how they may introduce themselves by their own power. As these persons have performed good works, they are among those who are vastated, and at length, after some time has passed, they are introduced into good societies and are instructed. 1112. Those, however, who have been in the goods and truths of faith, and have gained therefrom a conscience and a life of charity, are taken up by the Lord into heaven immediately after death. 1113. There are girls who have been enticed into harlotry, and thus persuaded that there is no evil in it, being in other respects rightly disposed. These, because they are not yet of an age to be able to know and judge concerning such a life, have an instructor with them, quite severe, who chastises them whenever in thought they break out into such wantonness. Of him they are in great fear, and in this way are vastated. But adult women who have been harlots and have enticed other women do not undergo vastation, but are in hell.